It's a fantastic morning, isn't it? Come on, talk with me. It's a fantastic morning, isn't it? I would love to invite you guys to come up and worship with us. I would love for you guys to come up and praise and worship with us. So we're going to invite you to the altar right now, Lord God. And I thank you for you, Lord Jesus. Come on, say bless.
Blessed.
We are blessed.
We are blessed.
Say bless.
Blessed.
Say we are blessed. For the devil is defeated, we are blessed. Come on, sing.
We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we're blessed when we come and when we go.
We
cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease.
Why?
For the devil is defeated, we are blessed. We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated, we are blessed.
Come on, you guys know how to clap, right? You guys know how to worship and praise a mighty God, right? So let me see it. Come on and clap with us real quick. That's it, right there. Come on and repeat after me real quick. Just want to wake you guys up, so sing. Blessed,
blessed.
Sing, we are blessed.
We are blessed.
Sing, blessed,
blessed.
Yeah, we are blessed.
We are blessed.
Sing, blessed,
blessed.
Yeah, we are blessed.
We are blessed.
Yes, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
All right, let's sing that verse again. We're blessed in the city.
We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated, we are blessed. We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated, we are blessed.
Turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Come on, for I know this.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
Come on, let's sing that again. Say,
late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
Come on, let's split it up. Sing that.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. Gonna work in your favor.
Last time, sing.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
Let's sing it back.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
We're blessed.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Praise you, holy.
our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, holy.
Honestly, isn't that all that matters this morning? I was talking to the team before we came out. What would actually happen if God just breathed on us just once? Can you imagine what the experience would be? How many of you have ever been in the glory of God where it's been just so thick you can't even stand up? When the presence of God is just so thick, there's not even words that can come out of your mouth. You see, the Bible says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And I believe God needs to put a fresh deposit in our spirit for hungering for more of Him. We have a hunkering for many things. The things of this world are titillating, they're drawing, there's so many things now that can happen on a Sunday morning that can divide our attention and all the way through our week. But really, in all honesty, when everything is said and done, when the culmination of time is complete, what do we really have from all the things we hungered for in the world? Houses, we buy them, we sell them, they burn. The roof caves in, you need new roof, you need this, you need that. Your car, most people don't keep a car any more than 3 or 4 years. We can go through all the things that people are after, boys and girls, money, all those things are so temporary, but yet our attention is so desperately on acquiring all of those things to where we're distracted, and all of a sudden, when all is said and done, we still have nothing that amounts to anything in eternity. And I challenge you to ask the Holy Spirit. In fact, let's just do that together. You don't mind, do you? Bow your heads with me. Let's just pray right out loud. Pray right after me. Dear Jesus, we need more. We need more. We need more of you. Lord, forgive us for chasing after all these worldly things that really will amount to nothing. And God, put a fresh hunger in our heart for more of Jesus. Lord, let us put the kingdom first. Let us raise Jesus high. Let us have a relationship with you, Lord. God, let there be the pinnacle desire, the apex of our life. So today, Jesus, only by your Holy Spirit can you put a fresh hunger in our heart. Feed us, Lord, that we will grow. Put a hunger in our heart that our appetites will increase. We want to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many of you believe that prayer? Amen. On your way back to your chair, why don't you say hello to 5 or 6 folks you don't know and say, I've got a new hungering for Jesus. Make Make sure you shake some hands you don't know. Don't just go to the folks you do know. Go to the people you don't know. This is a friendly church, I thought.
Guess what? Listen, we are doing our annual Uproar Park cleanup at Eldridge Park on June 17th. We're starting at 10 a.m. We're looking for volunteers as well as sponsors. If you're interested in helping out, make sure you come and see us at the table out front in the foyer, the Uproar table. You can get a packet there and get information. But make sure you sign up, volunteer or sponsor. We need your help. Hey everyone, tomorrow is our senior breakfast. That means that anybody over the age of 50 is able to come. We have breakfast with our pastors, a time of fun and fellowship together. So make sure you're at Cracker Barrel tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. sharp. Hey, here's Tabernacle family. We have our traditional Father's Day game coming up with the Pioneers on June 18th, 5 p.m. We want you to invite your family and your fathers out. We got free tickets for you. Make sure you come at the Hub and pick them up and be there at Father's Day on June 18th, 5 p.m.
What the Bible says, because maybe you need to hear it. The Bible says that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will talks about a decision. No matter what I came in here with, no matter what I'm going out with, I will choose to rejoice today. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Well, if you're a guest in this place, we just want to welcome you. Would you raise your hand? We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to make you stand up, but we actually want to give you a gift. So welcome. Yes, let's give them a round of applause. We're friendly in this house. Amen. Awesome. Welcome. I also want to invite you, if you are a guest, right after service, to the left, your right, we have a guest reception where we have hot coffee and some snacks. You get an opportunity to meet some of the pastoral team, and we get to share with you why it is that you want to be in this family with us. If you're watching via live stream, we want to welcome you. Obviously, we wish you were here, but we understand. We love you and enjoy this morning's service.
That's amazing. Guys, we have a discipleship program in our church, and we truly believe that discipleship is the power to raise up Christians and truly equip them to change the world, to do what Jesus called us to do. So we have a Next Steps program, and we have on step one, which is rock solid faith, we have it on Tuesday night with Pastor. All of Awaken just joined them, 7 p.m., Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. with Pastor Dan, and then Thursday night at 6 p.m. with Pastor Shannon. And these are incredible classes. We've also got step two, which you have to go through step one before you can go to step two. But we've got step two, spiritual warfare, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. with Pastor Obi. And I heard it was an incredible class on Tuesday night.
Hold on. There were 65 in Rock Solid Faith again this week. Then there were 64 online. And then Pastor Obi had over 50 in his class. That's Tuesday night alone. So make sure you're there Tuesday night, man. It's an awesome evening.
And then we have June 17th. We have the Uproar Park cleanup. And we really want you guys to partner with us because we know the impact that Uproar Conference has on everybody's lives. It's transformed so many youth and young adults already. So they're doing a park cleanup to raise some money. And what you can do is if you want to partner and you want to come help clean up, that's great. But if you can't, or you also want to sponsor, you can sponsor someone that's going to clean up and say, hey, you know, we'll give you $50 towards Uproar because you're going out and cleaning. So if you want to, please go out front and we've got a booth and you can get some more information on that. And then we've got the Father's Day Pioneers game that His Tabernacle sponsors. It is so great. We go out and we watch the Pioneers play. And then afterwards, Pastor Spencer gives an awesome word. And then we invite everybody to go out and throw some frisbees and just, you know, have fun. So, this next Sunday after church at 5 p.m., any fathers, any families, we have free tickets right out at the Hub. We want to encourage you guys to come out and show some support and have some fun. The last thing that we want to announce is very special. If you're between 18 and 30, just lift your hand up real quick. And if my team, we could start passing some of those out. But if you're between 18 and 30, just keep your hands up real quick. We've got an Awaken Carnival. Jody, I'm sorry, you're not 18 to 30. We love you, though. We've got an Awaken Carnival tonight at 5:30. We're going to have a dunk tank. We're going to have some games. We're going to have deep fried Oreos. It's going to be an amazing time. We're even going to go in and have a full service. So, yeah, just keep your hands up. We've got some people running around. The front row is totally forgotten. I mean, they know about it, though. So, yeah, carnival tonight. We have childcare. If you're saying, I can't come because I have kids, we have people that are going to watch your kids for you during this so you can get refreshed. Jody, you can come. So, guys, we want to encourage you. Participate, build some relationships, and do not miss out on tonight, 5:30 p.m. Anybody 18 to 30, we love you and we want you to be there. And here's Pastor Rhonda.
I want to come just to dunk you in the tank. Yay. Awesome. We just got back from our sixth Encounter weekend, and I just want these ladies to be able to share one word, one statement about what God did on this weekend. And I'm going to start by saying Jesus changes everything. At every stage in every age of your Christian walk, Jesus changes everything. Overflow.
forgiveness.
Nothing's impossible.
Consuming.
Joy.
Wait. I have to stop. They're nervous. So, this is Jenny. We all got to meet her and connect with her this weekend. Jenny came in with some really great sorrow. Her husband passed away in April. March. She started coming in April. She came on this encounter weekend, and this morning when she came to church, actually, we just watched over the weekend her whole countenance change. She began to glow over the weekend with the joy that she said. But she came into church this morning, and she said, "It's a wonderful day." She said, "It's the first time since then that I have been able to say that." And she said beforehand, she used to say it all the time. And for today, it was the first time, again, she was able to say, "It's a wonderful day."
I got freedom from my burdens and chains.
Worthiness.
You're never too old for God to give you a whole new beginning.
Been in ministry for 22 years, been married for 21, had children for 19, and I've never been intentional about making or taking time to do this. Don't put it off, girls.
Amen. Obedience to the word leads to our destiny, and also I will forever do skinny arm.
All right, ladies, you got to learn about skinny arm. Show them skinny arm. So when you're taking a photograph, you know how your arm always looks huge because it's laid down and pressed? We learned something this weekend. You just hold it out like this, and it looks skinny. It really works. I have pictures to prove it. So we learned something practical, too.
I became refreshed and ready for the next level.
God's timing, not my own timing.
Sorry, I can't give a word, but I'll give a sentence because I'm a pastor and I'm a preacher. So while I may not be able to control people, I can control my response to people. And because of that, I have freedom to forgive. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. The next one is November. If you haven't, don't wait. Sign up. See Carla Vischer. Pastor Spencer.
We love building people. Turn to someone and say, "This is all about building God's family." That's what it's all about. And we want to challenge you. There's so many opportunities for you in this house. Don't go without. Make sure that you're growing and maturing and developing. And do we have a date for the next ladies? November is the next one. Ladies, you want to start signing up. There are a certain amount of chairs only. Want to make sure that you're there. We have some folks with Samantha has a birthday. Michelle Congdon has a birthday. And, you know, there's a bunch of folks out. We just want to celebrate you and let you know how much we love you. We also want to, the Bible says that when one mourns, we all mourn. And we had a traumatic loss this week. And we want to stand with the Pruitt family. This afternoon, we'll be having a memorial service at the Watkins Glen High School football stadium in memorial of Ryan, their son. And we just want you to know that we love you. We're standing with you. You're not alone. And we'll be here with you all the whole trip. Amen. We love you, family. I believe that a big part of family is being inconvenienced. Anybody here ever been inconvenienced by your family? And I think this afternoon would be a great inconvenience for as many His Tabernacle Family Church to be there at 3:00 in the afternoon in the middle of the heat and standing with our brothers and sisters. Amen? I said amen? Amen. This morning we're getting ready to, remember we usually say receive an offering? We're not going to do that, remember? We're returning. Turn to someone and say, "This is all about return." You can't give something to somebody that they already own. You can only return it. If I borrow your car, I'm not giving you a gift if I bring it back. Well, you're out there this morning, right? I said, I'm not doing anything special for you if I bring your car back that I borrowed. And that's the same principle when it comes to tithing. Everybody shout tithe. You know, people ask us all the time, Pastor, why do you always have to talk about giving? Why do you always have to talk about money? And why do you always have to talk about tithing? Number one, it's God's principles, not mine. Number two, a lot of people don't know. They've never been taught. And so we constantly want to have this before you because God's economy is far greater than man's economy. Man's economy is not trustworthy. One minute it's up, the next minute it's down. But the one thing that is consistent is God's kingdom is consistent. And God's finances, he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. So today, when we bring our, when we return to the things of the Lord, which is our tithe and our offering, a 10% means a tenth. Everybody say tenth? 10% is what God's word says. Now, I don't know about you. How many of you believe that it's always God's will to save? I believe that God will save you if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. How many have had your sins washed away? If you can believe God for your salvation, you can believe God in your finances. Now, I was rebuked on, I think it was Tuesday. I don't get rebuked often, but usually it's my wife. But I was rebuked in a nice way, by a lady in the church, Alberta. We won't throw her under the bus or anything. She's not here? Well, good. Throw her under the bus. Alberta came to me and she said to me, she says, Pastor, you're wrong. And I said, okay. She says, you stood up last week and said that you're believing God that for 26% or double the amount of tithers we have now in the church. She said, how dare you do that? She said, that's absolutely against everything you've taught us. She said, you got to believe God for 100% tithers in this house. Now, what are you going to say? You know, you're not going to go, well, you know. And I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So we're believing God for 100% tithers in the house. Can I hear an amen? Everybody shout it out loud. I'm a tither. Now, some of you, this might be your very first week that's ever going to be to tithe. And I want you to know that this is the only place in the scripture that God says, I'll prove myself to you in this. Test me and I'll prove it. God will always take care of his own. Can I hear an amen? So if you're a guest in the house, we don't bend arms or make people give. You give whatever you want. My wife and I have no clue who gives. Our staff has no clue who gives in this church. It's all between you and Jesus. But I challenge you, if you become a tither, you'll see blessing come to your life. That's the word of the Lord. Can I hear an amen? So in this house, what we do is we bring our offerings to the Lord. Let's all stand to our feet. We also make a supernatural proclamation. Well, how many of you believe the Bible is true? So we declare the word of the Lord over our lives, and it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. So let's declare the word of God over our life. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Shout it out loud. If I obey, I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. By live stream right now, we want to encourage you to be a giver. What we find is that out of all the live streamers, there's between 200 and 300 a week. We find that there are very few that are actually tithing. And I challenge you to be a tither this morning if you're watching by online, because today this is your house. So make sure you're sowing into your house for the glory of God. We love you. Right on the website, it says give. Make sure you're a giver. Thank you. Hallelujah. Shout, I'm blessed. Turn to somebody else and say, you're blessed. Amen. I get a very exciting moment right now. I'm going to take the next 5 minutes, and I want to present something to you that's exciting. One of the things that we love to do is invest. Turn to someone and say, I'm an investor. I didn't say investor. I said investor. That's very New England. You got to go New England on me now. As an investor, one of the important things is making sure that you're investing in something that's going to have return. One of the great parts about being part of the kingdom of God is that we are stewards of God's finances. We know the tithe is the Lord's, amen? We know the offering is the Lord's, amen? But we also know we have the opportunity to take and to use what he has given us to steward, to be a sower into prosperity. What does that mean? If you have a seed, you'll have a harvest. If you want to see a harvest in your life, you have to plant a... If you want to have a harvest in your life, you must plant a... This is an eternal principle. This is a principle that goes beyond even Christianity. It goes beyond people that are saved or unsaved. This is an eternal purpose. Seed time and harvest, the Bible declares, shall never pass away. And in this house, we are the generous church. Turn to someone and say, you are generous. I was at the Harley-Davidson shop yesterday. And I love going out back and talking to those guys. They're just a bunch of really great guys. They're working on the Harleys, and I'm talking to them. And one of them said, so why do you guys always ask for money? And I said, well, that's a great question. I said, because we're going to give people the opportunity to invest tomorrow. And he said, well, what do you mean? I says, well, you know, this house, a lot of churches will spendthrift the finances or just put a bunch of money in the bank, and they'll sit on the bankroll, and, you know, they'll do this and do that. But in this house, we are generous because we build people. Turn to someone and say, we are builders of people. There's nothing greater to invest in than somebody else. When you have the opportunity to invest in a soul, there's no greater privilege and opportunity. And in this house, we are sowers because we are generous because we see lives changed. You've heard me explain it before, but I just want to explain it one more time. In this house, we bless so many people. My son Cody is going to give a testimony in the next few weeks. He went to a DSS meeting down in the city, and it's amazing how many people in the community, I'm talking community officials, recognize what his tabernacle does down in the city. And I just want to say thank you, because without you, we would not be changing lives. Every single Sunday morning, we bus in people to the church. Every single Wednesday, we bus in about 150 children. In fact, we have a serious issue because we're now running out of room and we need more workers. Can I hear an amen? We have so many children that are coming in under the age of 12 that we're just investing in and clothing them and feeding them and getting the gospel in them. There's nothing better than getting the gospel in somebody that's never had it. Every single Thursday, we're busing in a whole nother crew of kids that are 12 years old and up to 18 and investing in them, trying to pull them out of the culture that they're in that is deteriorating and destroying them. Our goal is to build this community, not to be a church in a cornfield that has two buildings. This church, the goal is save souls. I said, this is a soul-winning church. And in every year, we get the phenomenal blessing to do great things for the Lord. So we're going to have, if they haven't already, passed out to you. It's called the Generous Campaign. This is a pledge card. From now and until August 13th, we're going to be receiving these pledges. You'll also receive a seed offering envelope. And in there, we are raising, believe in God, for no less for you to be able to sow in and invest in souls to at least $125,000. Now, what's amazing is the moment somebody says $125,000, people start to palpitate and sweat starts to come down. But the great part is this house isn't small. This isn't a small church. It's a good-sized church. And in that, it doesn't take a lot if we all do above our tithe. Can I hear an amen? If only 500 adults in this house, now listen now, we have over 1,300 adults in this house. If 500 adults in this house over the next 10 weeks will just give $25 a week over your tithes and offerings, it will be $125,000. Isn't that amazing? It doesn't take a lot. And I know this, there are folks, and I just want to challenge you, who have excess and who have funds in the bank that have availability. I'm believing, God, that some of you are going to be able to sow a $25,000, a $50,000, maybe a $100,000 offering into the kingdom of God to see souls change. So let me tell you what this is for. The Uproar Conference this year, last year we ministered to 900 teenagers. They came from the Northeast. This year, we're taking it to the arena. It's the very first time we've ever gone to the arena. We're going to the arena. We're believing God for over 1,000 teenagers to be able to get the gospel in them and to bring change to our city. Amen? Now, this is a free event for these teenagers. That's humongous. There is not another free event anywhere on the on the entire eastern coast. This is the only one. And we're believing God to do this because you can't tell a sinner they got to pay $60 to come to a Christian event. Amen? This has got to be free. Now, also, that's July 27th through 29, the Uproar Conference. Rock the City this year is going to be phenomenal. Last year, where were we? We were at Grove Park. Wow. We fed at least 800 or 900 people. We gave away a car. What a blessing we were to the community. And there are folks in the house today because of that event. We are doing it this year in Horseheads at the Thorn Street Park. It is going to be off the hook, and that's going to be found, and that's we're doing that August 24th through 26th. We're going to have the bouncy houses for the kids. Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. is going to be here with the band again. It's going to be just an enormous event. And the last night, you ready? The last night, we're going to have full fireworks. It is going to be an amazing celebration for our community. I believe also, if not, then I'm just going to seal it in concrete, we're giving away a cruise. Last year, we had to give away a car. We were in a community with a need. You know, we're in Horseheads this year. Not a lot of people have needs, so we're going to give away a cruise this year. Is that all right? Now, why are you saying, why are you giving away a cruise? Because that is what will bring them to hear the gospel. They got to be there to hear the gospel. Amen? If they hear the gospel, they can be saved. Also, I'm excited. We're going to start a preschool in January. Listen, I believe without any question, in fact, sadly enough, this last year, the only Pentecostal Christian school was closed. And I'm believing that next fall, in fact, we're already in the planning, next fall, we're going to have a Christian school, Pentecostal, Spirit-filled Christian school in this church next September, and it will be from K through 6. Help me now if I'm wrong. Am I right? Take K through 6. But we're going to launch it in January with a Christian Spirit-filled preschool. And so part of this money is going to go to build this house to where we're going to be able to meet all the legal requirements from the law. And then the last is our parking lot. How many thank God for our parking lot? I thank God for our parking lot. How many of you remember when it wasn't asphalt? Amen. How many ladies had to buy new heels? Amen. Car wash after every service. Kathy Sayers saying no, she's wearing Crocs. Glory to God. Our parking lot needs attention, and we've got to take care of what God has blessed us with. Amen. They want $30,000 to fix our parking lot. And that's a low bid. That's just, I don't know what they're doing to it. They're doing something, and they're making pretty lines on it. Maybe they'll do circles this year. I don't know. But I'm believing the Lord to have this all taken care of. Can I hear an amen? In fact, I believe this morning it can be completely taken care of. I believe there's enough in this house that enough checks could be written this morning to completely pay off the whole thing. We wouldn't even have to take another offering. Can I hear an amen? But we want to give everybody the opportunity to sow. So. Everybody have your pledge cards? Who needs a pledge card? Raise your hand. My wife needs one. I'd like you to go and pray over this, or if you already know in your spirit what you want to sow, we only need $500 to give $25 a week for the next 10 weeks to cover the whole thing. If you want to be part of that, write that on the pledge card. But I want you to be one who is going to be passionate enough to sow into your house. Now, I want to make you ready for it because we are going to pay this building off. I need you to understand, we're going to pay this building off so we can build the next one. The next one is not a small one. The next one is 68,000 square feet, will seat 1,999 people. And so we're going to pay this one off first. Can I hear an amen? And in that, we just need everybody to be faithful to the kingdom of God and be an investor. Turn to someone and say, I'm an investor. Now, for those who are angry that I'm asking for money, please put your money back in your pocket. This is not for you. This is for those who are investors. Can I hear an amen? Who understand the principles of tithing, sowing, and reaping. And so let me pray over you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, that you have given us this honor and this privilege to sow into your kingdom. This is not my church. This is not our church. This is your building, God. This is your property. These are your visions, Lord, to touch this community. And we thank you, God, that we're going to change people, Father, with this finances. Lord, lives will be transformed forever. Souls will be snatched from Satan's lair. And God, you'll be lifted on high and glorified, and people will know where to go when they need help from Christ. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the honor and the privilege. Speak to every heart, Lord, even the children that are in the house. God, I pray that every child will participate, that they'll learn how to be sowers at a very young age for the glory of God. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. I got a special for you. Pastor Rhonda Spencer is preaching the gospel. Give her a hand clap as she comes.
Amen. Well, I have such a mama's heart. I'm a mama bear when it comes to my children, and I love training them up and teaching them. And God has just really put something in my spirit for this house. This past weekend, I took Sophia to see Corinne down in Florida. So her and I got in an airplane, went down to see baby girl, and she's doing phenomenal, by the way, down there in ministry, working. They love her so much, they don't want to send her back. So who knows when she'll be home. But on the way back from Florida on this flight, we were getting ready to land, and then the announcement comes on that you're supposed to remain in your seat, fasten your seatbelts, nobody moving around the cabin because we're preparing to land. So I'm sitting near the front with Sophia, and she looks at me after the announcement's been made for about 10 minutes and says, Mammy, I gotta go potty. I'm like, oh, no. Well, they were circling and not actually landing, so I figured, well, you know, I'll just ask the steward if she can go. And I asked the man sitting there if she could go to the bathroom, and he said no. For her own safety, right? Because when you're landing, we don't need to be in the bathroom, fall, hurt ourselves. It was for her own safety, but she was told no. She turned and looked at me, Mammy. The man said no, and she just melted. But it was for her safety and protection. It was in her best interest that she was told no. And guess what? She was perfectly fine. She managed to make it to the bathroom, and everything was well. But sometimes I feel like this is what the body of Christ sounds like when the word of God is spoken. Pastor, God said no. And we melt like a 2-year-old. Now, Sophia's 2. We expect that from her. But when the word of God is spoken and discipline is given and correction comes and even conviction from the word of God, we have got to toughen up. We have got to toughen up, church. Sometimes you need to hear, no, don't do that because it's going to save your life. God doesn't say no because he wants to be mean or cruel or take something from you, make you suffer. He gives us his word for our own safety, for our protection. He always has your best in mind. You see, we're in a battle. This is a battle, and we're running a race to win. We're the army of God. 2 Timothy 2:3-5 in the Amplified Version says,
Take with me your share of hardship, passing through the difficulties which you are called to endure, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service gets entangled in the ordinary business affairs of civilian life. He avoids them so that he may please the one who has enlisted him to serve. And if anyone competes in an athletic competition, he is not crowned the wreath of victory unless he completes according to the rules. This is a race we're running to win. This is a battle that we have been called to. I want to make God proud that he chose me for his team. He chose you too. And no, you're not a bench warmer. He's given you everything that you need to be successful for life and godliness right in here. But we have got to toughen up. We have got to be able to hear correction, even criticism, especially conviction. It is for our own strength and our own good. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight and worthy and noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, firmly guarding against error. You see, we're so soft as Christians that even sometimes preachers are afraid to speak the truth from the Word of God. They feel like they have to tiptoe and walk on eggshells, not in this house. You're going to get the truth because you want to know why? Because we love you. We want to see you win. We want to see you make it. We don't want to see anyone destroyed or miss out on the blessings and the good things that God has. Now, if you are in a battle, on the front lines of battle, the general, the sergeant, the lieutenant that's on the front lines with you giving orders isn't going to be now. Now, Jody, I understand that you might be a little afraid and you don't really like this. It's not really what you thought you signed up for. So, you know, I want you to just, when you're ready and when you feel like it, you can go out and join the battle. No, you're on the front line of battle. He's not going to walk on eggshells and tip. He's going to say, go, stop, hold your ground. And our response is either our destruction or our success or our victory. Family, we must toughen up. Seriously. I saw somebody at the altar, Tammy, with a shirt on that says Christian strong. Christian, oh, right there. Christian strong. We need to toughen up, family. You see, we enjoy all the encouragement and all the compliments and when everything makes us feel good and we like what we hear, but we need to be thankful for the discipline, the correction, the conviction of God, and even criticism. Be thankful for criticism. Don't be a part of the culture that refuses correction, that runs from it, and therefore remains soft and dull. Matthew 13, 15 through 16, and Acts 28 and 27 say the exact same thing. They're repeating the prophet Isaiah. For the hearts of this people have become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return, and I would heal them. Blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because you hear. You're blessed when you are willing to hear. Sometimes we like to leave a service where the word of God has been spoken, and it pokes something that we didn't like, and pretend like we didn't hear it. Or as pastor would say, I distinctly remember forgetting that. Toughen up. toughen up. Correction, discipline, even criticism is for your benefit, for your strengthening, so that you'll make it through battle. Do you know that businesses actually pay people to come in and scrutinize and criticize and nitpick every little thing that they can find wrong? They pay good money to have that done. Why? So that they can be the best in their field, so that they can be stronger, so they can better meet the needs. We don't even have to pay for it. We get it completely for free. I mean, you might have a waiting line of people to criticize you and tell you what you're doing wrong. You're getting it for free. You don't even have to pay for it. But we should be so thankful. We should be grateful and not run from and cower when correction, conviction, even criticism comes our way. We don't have to pay anything for it. You can use it as a stumbling block, or you can use it as a stepping stone to make you better, to make you stronger. Man, I did not raise my children to be snowflakes. I raised them to be, man, when they would come home complaining about something, you know what? You just got to toughen up. You got to go back better and stronger. You got to deal with, that's life. You, when you strike out, you got out. Practice a little bit more. Hone a little bit more. Proverbs 27:17. This is the verse for this scripture today. Iron, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens and influences another through discussion. So iron sharpens iron. Don't be afraid of it. Take it. Say, oh, this is awesome. I am getting sharper. I am getting better. I am getting wiser. Don't run and cower and bend when somebody has to correct you. Ecclesiastes 10:10 tells us, if the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. Wisdom has the advantage of giving success. Sharpen the axe so you don't have to work so hard. We watch the show. We have to record it, of course, because we never have consistent time available. It's called Forged in Fire. So it's just really a mindless show. They're making weapons, knives and stuff. It's just something that we defrag to. It's blacksmithing. So they make these different weapons, and then it gets tested to see if it's sharp enough, if it's strong enough, if it'll withstand. So there's nothing worse than if you didn't allow that to be in the fire, or you didn't quench it right to get to, you know, it looks like a beautiful knife. A lot of them look perfect. They look good, like they'll do the job. But then when it gets down to the test, they're too dull. They're soft. They break because they weren't prepared for the test. We have got to make sure that we hear correction, that we receive discipline, that we use it to allow that blade to get sharper and shinier and better. We have to remain teachable and receptive. Oh, we are really a culture that does not participate with that. Don't tell me. We have got to stay teachable and receptive. I know we think that about everybody else. When we say that, we think, oh, so-and-so needs to hear that. No, I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to myself. Whenever I speak, I'm only sharing what God has already been working in me. We must remain teachable and receptive. The moment you stop listening, receiving, and learning, loyalty will leave you. Roots will come up. You'll disconnect and you will become dull. Always remain teachable. Get into classes. Get into Next Step. At no stage and level can we afford to be unteachable. I mean, these companies that hire people to come in and teach them what they're doing wrong, they're the best of the best. And they remain that way by being teachable, by allowing criticism, to allowing those things. You know, those suggestion box that are in places? The people putting up those suggestion box, no, they're not going to be getting any suggestions in there. They're going to get hate mail in there. Oh, you're horrible because of this. You do awful because of this. You know what? They welcome it. Because then they can see, here's an area we need to sharpen. Here's an area we need to hone. We need to make this better. We need to be teachable. Always be, and especially to the Word of God. I promise you, none of you have arrived. I haven't arrived. There's always something every day that he can work on in me. There's always something new. I need to remain teachable to what the Word of God is saying every single day. There's so many different areas. Marriage, is your marriage perfect? Let God work on your marriage. Are your relationships, how about your evangelism, your soul winning, your health, your finances? We need to remain teachable. Your joy, remain teachable, especially in the Word of God. Because when you continually uproot your tree and run away from correction, and you plant your tree somewhere else, you know, roots need time to get down deep in so that they can produce fruit. Every time you get mad and you don't want to hear what's being said, and you pick up your tree and uproot, you're delaying the fruit in that season. And sometimes you may just keep picking. You get so comfortable picking it up, you're just leaving everywhere because you're so soft, you can't hear any correction. We need to toughen up. We need to be like a tree that is planted, and that when the winds come and the storms come and the pruners come out with those clippers and they clip stuff off of us, that we just get better and we just get stronger. We need to be tough in the kingdom. We need to be Christian strong. I'm telling you this because I love you. It is not because I want to be mean. It's not because I hate saying no. I don't even like the word no myself. But it's because I love you and I want you to win. You may say, well, this is just who I am. I'm just a sensitive person. I'm an extra sensitive person. Well, you might be, but let me tell you, Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So stop being hurt at everything that happens and all the things that go on around you. You know what's another thing that we like to do? Is we get hurt for other people. Oh, When I was young, I hated it when my siblings got disciplined. I didn't like that. And then when my children were growing, I hated it when they got disciplined. You know what? We've gotten so soft that we hate it when somebody else is getting sharpened, when somebody else is getting better. And we try to convince them, oh, you shouldn't take that. Don't take that. Listen, don't listen to anybody telling you that. When the Word of God comes out, do it. Take the discipline and the correction. And if somebody's telling you not to, they just want to keep you weak with them. Stand up to that. Birds of a feather flock together. I want to be around people that don't mind correction. That don't mind. I love conviction. I love it. It's the mercy of God. Because someday I'm going to stand before a holy God all by myself with nobody else around me, nobody to blame, no excuses. I'm going to stand before God by myself and have to give an account. That's the mercy of God when you feel conviction right now where you're at. Love it. Love it. He's saving your life. He's saving your eternity. We need to learn to love correction and conviction. We actually need to ask for it, invite it, like these businesses do. They ask for need to say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And if there be any wicked way in me, reveal it and help me to remove it. We need to invite love, correction, even criticism. I don't even mind criticism. Get really, really used to it. It's okay. I eat criticism for breakfast. It's better than my Wheaties. Gives me the strength that I just step right up on it and use it for my stepping stone. Thank you very much for the stone. I needed that to get over that spot. We can get to a place where we're even so soft that conviction comes in and we take it as a wound of hurt and offense. And then we say that the church hurt me. The church hurt me. And we walk away. The church hurt me. The church hurt me. The church didn't hurt you. The church tried to help you win. When you leave this place and you don't like something that came from the Word of God, the church didn't hurt you. We're trying to help you. We're trying to build you. We're trying to make you strong enough because it's a battle. It's a race that we're running, and we want everybody to win. We don't want to leave anyone behind. The church is for you and not against you. You're not always going to like what the Word of God says. But don't be soft about it. I don't like when the Word of God says that I have to do good to those who despitefully use me. Not everything in the Word of God is fun and flowers and roses. But I know it produces such awesome strength inside of me. It keeps me so sharp that literally I shine and there's no dullness on my finish. You'll never win if you only hear things that you want to hear that make you comfortable and make you happy. If we're off balance with that whole encouragement stuff, that's all we ever want to hear. And let me tell you, let's not pretend, church. Sometimes we're so soft that we do not want to hear anything that goes against our happy feeling. Because I deserve to be happy. You won't win. You'll be too soft. You'll be dull if you only have encouragement. It's like a mom on American Idol that's told their child that they could sing their whole entire lives. And then we see them show up on that competition, and it sounds like a screeching owl. We're going to save you from that. We're not going to always tell you everything's perfect and flowers and roses. We're going to tell you that's ugly. Don't do it. It makes you look ugly. Don't do it. That's going to kill you. Don't do it. That's going to separate you from God. Don't do it. You want peace? Do this. Go. Hold. Stop. Hebrews 12, 5 through 7 in the Amplified says, And you have forgotten the divine word of encouragement. He calls it encourage. I love this. God calls discipline encouragement. It's so cool. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. My son, do not make light of the discipline of the Lord. And do not lose heart and give up when you are corrected by him. For the Lord disciplines and corrects those whom he loves. I know in this world, we don't even know what love looks like. Many of us didn't get an example of what love looks like. This is love. God's discipline and correction is because he loves you. Pastor and I, when we get up here and speak, and your teachers in classes, they correct you because we love you. We love you so much, we want to see you win. For the Lord disciplines and corrects those whom he loves. And he punishes every son and daughter whom he receives and welcomes to his heart. You must submit to the correction for the purpose of discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons and daughters. For what son or daughter is there whom his father does not discipline? And the end of this verse says, so then strengthen hands that are weak and knees that tremble. Toughen up, family. Father God is loving on you and treating you like a son and a daughter. So rather than running from that correction, rather than complaining, Pastor, God said no. Mammy, God said no. Rather than doing that, we need to receive the correction. We need to love that and know that it's because he loves us. It should actually be a welcome thing, because then you know you're a son and a daughter. Ah, oh, he corrected me. I'm his daughter. He loves me that much that he will tell me, the stove is hot, don't touch it. Love the strengthening discipline in yourself and in others. Love it when you see others getting disciplined by a loving father and corrected. And don't keep others soft around you. Toughen up. You get the best fruit when a tree is pruned. John 15:2, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that continues to be bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes so that it will bear fruit even richer and finer. So welcome that correction. Ask, you know what? I need my branches pruned. You know, I think it's when there's three apples on, they pull one so that the other two can grow more. That's pruning. It's good. The Word of God says that he will repeatedly prune you. How many of you know what that feels like? Every week when you come in Sunday service, right? Repeatedly pruning me. Repeatedly, every morning when I open up the Word of God, repeatedly pruning me. But it's so that you can get to the richer and finer fruit, so that you can get to enjoy abundant life, so that you can enjoy peace, that you can have joy. It's making you strong enough that in this battle, you will have abundant life. Psalm 66:10-12 tells us, it's talking about being forged in fire. We went through the fire and through the water, yet you brought us out to a place of abundance. You come out better, stronger, blessed, more peace, with favor, with joy, with love, when you've been forged in the fire. So don't fight it. Don't run away from it. Young people, millennials, and I'd like to just blame millennials, but let me tell you, it's a little embarrassing. It's not just millennials. It's not just millennials. I've seen a lot of grown, mature adults. Oh, I want this from the buffet. Oh, I don't like that. Not going to go there. I'm going to go get this from this buffet. I didn't want to hear that. I'm just going to go over here. We have got to toughen up. Hebrews 12:11 says, for the time being, no discipline seems like joy, but seems sad and painful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, for those who allow it to train them, it yields peace. Peace that passes all understanding. People are going to look at you and they're going to say, how on earth can you have peace in this? You might not even understand how you can have peace yourself. But when you've been trained by discipline, you can walk in peace knowing my sword is sharp. It'll cut through anything. It is strong. It will hold up in battle. It will shine and it will not become dull. When we are trained by it, you get to enjoy peace. You get to win. You get to be better. You get to be stronger. So it's out of love that I tell you, toughen up. Toughen up. Don't walk away from the Word of God offended, hurt, broken, bent over, toughen up, put your shoulders back and say, I know it's making me stronger. I know I get to have the good life. You want the good life? Enjoy correction. Enjoy discipline, because the rest will leave you tossed to and fro. The rest will be sinking sand. The rest is torment. You might think that you're getting to peace when you walk out, but the only peace you're getting is a temporary peace from having to hear what you're doing wrong. It's not going to bring you to the ultimate peace that we're all looking to walk in. I want to be better. I want to be stronger. I want God to prune my life. I want him to discipline me. I want him to correct me. It's his love that causes him to do this. When we walk away and say, no, God, I can't do this thing that you've asked. It's just too much. You're keeping yourself from that peace. You're keeping yourself in a constant cycle of trying to feel fulfilled. And when it's your own way, Pastor just spoke the message on why my opinion doesn't matter to God's holy ordinances, because God has your best. He knows what's good for you, and he's given you everything that you need. You've just got to be able to receive it and accept it. Toughen up. I want you to win. James 1, 3 through 4. We're going to end with this. Be assured. Be confident of this. He's giving us his stamp and his assurance. The testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And there is nothing better than inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result. There is perfect result when we accept the correction and discipline of the Lord. His word always works. It does what it was sent to do. You get perfect results when you persevere through that. And so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing. Lacking in, I know your mind will tell you, oh, it's going to cause you to lack in fun. It's going to cause you to be less of who you really are. No, the word of God and following it and submitting to discipline and correction from the word makes you perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Oh, that's why I love it. I crave conviction. I receive conviction. I receive discipline from the Lord. And I even receive criticism from ill-meaning people, because I can use that to sharpen my iron. Iron sharpens iron. I'm just going to take that. Thank you for that hard thing. I needed something hard to sharpen my blade on. Thank you so much. Go ahead. We've got to toughen up, family. Sons and daughters of the Most High God, are you ready for battle? To get sharper? To get better? To accept the correction of the Lord? Now, listen. You can hear and be dull and leave this place and choose not to accept direction and discipline from the Lord. But you will remain dull, and when it's put to the test, it won't be able to cut through when you need it to. And it will break when you needed to be able to count on it, when you needed to be able to be assured by it. But if we do, you'll be Christian strong, sharp, powerful. You'll win. And I love you so much. I want every one of you to win. I don't want anyone, when the test comes, to have your blade broken, to have it be dull and not work. I want to see you through to the very end. Amen? Let's stand to your feet. So as you enter church, as you open your word and you hear from God, obey. Obey. It's making you stronger and better. Actually, what I want you to do, I want you right now to ask God. Let's be brave. We're not soft, right?
We're strong. Let's ask God. And then when God tells you, don't you be mad at him. And don't be disobedient and rebellious. But I want you to ask God, what do I need to change in me? Go ahead, I'm ready for it, God. What do I need to change in me? Because I want to be strong. I want to keep getting better and better, and I want to win. I want to finish the race. So we're going to start right now. If you'll bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe you're in this room today, and you've never even asked Jesus to be a part of your life. You haven't come into the family of God. And today, you want to make that decision to make him the Lord of your life, the best friend that you will ever have. If that's you in this place today, and you want to make the Lord of your life, I want you to raise your hand real quickly. We're not going to wait long. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, the best friend that you will ever have, he'll never leave you and forsake you. He's got your best interest in mind. He'll only make you stronger and better. If that's what you want to receive today, I just want you to raise your hand up real quickly. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Now in this place, I just want to take a moment. I don't want to leave where the word is sent to work. The word works in us. The word is surpassing any stronghold, anything that you didn't think that you can get over, any generational thing, the word is surpassing. So I want you just right where you are to ask God, what is it? And he's going to bring it up. I don't want you to run. I don't want you to uproot yourself. I don't want you, but God, you said no. I want you to toughen up and obey God in that thing and then watch abundant life. Watch the flooding of peace that passes all understanding. Watch the favor. Watch the strength. Watch the joy come in. So just a moment, take and ask God. I'm sure that thing came up really quickly. Now, Father, I just ask that you will strengthen everyone. We choose right now in this moment to obey your word. We choose to follow you. So we lay that thing down. We repent. And God, we turn the opposite direction and walk away from it. We leave this place without it any longer. We leave this place sharper, better, stronger. We win. We win. We win. And I thank you for your great love, God. Thank you that you love us enough to be honest with us. You love us enough to intercept us in that path and put us on the right road. We thank you for joy. We thank you for abundant life. We thank you for peace and blessing. And in your precious name, we all pray, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you love Jesus this morning? Now, if you had books in your britches when you had the spanking, you'd just take out the books. Can I hear an amen? We love you, Father. Bless everybody in the name of Jesus as we go today. Lord, let us lead at least one soul to you this week for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, if you're a guest in the house, we want to meet you personally. Make your way over to the guest reception room. Everybody else, enjoy the warmth. It's going to be a beautiful day.